wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. When the lie detector fails. Today, since so many awful crimes occur and only the criminal survives, and no witnesses can be found, justice is devising ways to get confession out of those who are suspected. One of the most recent is the lie detector. This has been so successful, accused criminals are afraid to be so tested. But even the lie detector fails when terrible criminals with seared consciences and hardened hearts are so indifferent to natural compassion, they baffle the lie detector. But when the lie detector fails and cross-examination accomplishes nothing, yet there stands the living God who knows the thoughts and intents of human hearts, not only what we did, but what we intended to do. And God has said, be sure your sin will find you out. Those who have baffled all human justice need not celebrate their victory, for God will get them, and in the way and time least expected. In the Bible, we read of a man who committed a wicked crime against God and man. He covered it all up and drew the hush blanket tightly around him. Then into the court, for he was the king, there came a man. Who was this plainly clad man who dared to come into the king's court uninvited? He was God's prophet with God's message for that king. He tells the king this parable. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his children. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that had come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. The king was enraged and declared that that rich man would surely die. Then God's prophet Nathan, with holy indignation, pointed his finger at King David and said, thou art the man. And he declared the judgment of the Lord God of Israel on that man, the wicked king. Once so cleverly hid, but now uncovered by the living God, thou art the man. Some preachers talk to the people in America about the sins of the people in other nations. And when they have gamblers, drunkards, blasphemers, and liars in their congregation, they tell them about the news instead of facing them with their sins. In their ministry, there is no thou art the man. But I tell you, neighbor, when you read your Bible, God will speak to you about your sins, your evil ways, and the Holy Spirit will spot you with this, thou art the man. In the Old Testament, we read of this fearless prophet Nathan as he faces the king with his sins. And in the New Testament, we read of another fearless prophet, John the Baptist. He goes before King Herod for stealing his brother's wife, breaking up his brother's home, and then trying to hide it all by calling her Mrs. Herod. He lays bare the personal life of the king. For him, Herod was just another sinful man. Where are such fearless preachers today? Seminaries cannot produce them. They are men of God coming from God's presence with God's message. That is why they say, thou art the man, not the king. For crowns, thrones, titles, and all human adornment vanish in God's presence, where every man lies naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the living, all-seeing, holy God of heaven above. Thou art the man, said Nathan to King David. David would have reacted, I am what man? Even this is your reaction right now. What man? David was the man who had committed such shameful sin. It was too vile to talk about. Now, does that have any bearing on you? Suppose an angel came as your wife and children were with you, and he started to tell what God knows about your wicked sins. Would you want your loved ones to know all that God knows about you? You know. Each of us knows that our sins have been too shameful to be told. Thou art the man. What man? That king, when his conscience had lashed him because of his loathsome sin, he had fought down his conscience until his voice was only faintly heard. So the Lord said to David, "You can quiet the voice of your conscience, but I will send my prophet with my word." And hasn't it been just that way with you, neighbor? The Lord has sent his servant to preach his word to you, and that irresistible word of God has made you feel, thou art the man. What man? He was the man who tried to hide his ugly sin by his position. He was the king, and no one would dare say anything to him, the king. Some men are deacons, and some even preachers, priests, or rabbis, and they try to use their religious position to hide their own wickedness. Some men are mayors and sheriffs, and they use their position to cover up their graft, corruption. Others are army colonels, business managers, or doctors, and they use their respected position as a blanket to cover up their repulsive wickedness. Thou art the man. What man? He was the man who tried to hide what he had done by judging others. This trick is common to man, to condemn others for the very sin he himself is doing, so none will suspicion him. Like a man with a liquor still, voting for prohibition to cover up his bootlegging business. The God who knows man's deceit says, "Thou that sayest a man shalt not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery?" Yes, thou art the man. What man? King David had no excuse for stealing another man's wife. He had a wife, a beautiful wife, a wise woman, Abigail. He had no excuse. Neighbor, have you any excuse that could be mentioned before God's judgment for your sins? Absolutely none, and you know it. God declares of you and me and the next one, so then they are without excuse. Thou art the man. What man? Doubtless King David thought the Lord was so good to him, he would show him some favoritism or indulgence. Some religions issue indulgences to sin upon paying them certain fees. But the living holy God of heaven has no indulgence for anyone. Some children of Christian parents think they can get away with their sins and God will pass them by for their parents' sake. Let no one fool himself in this manner, for God has no favorites. King David was a man after God's own heart. God loved him, but God would not bypass his sin. It must be exposed and judged. If you're counting on God's indulgence, you're counting on what does not exist and it never has existed. And David was utterly miserable, for he was running away from God, running away from light and truth and from his own conscience too. Neighbor, your conscience is like your shadow. You can run all day, and when you stop, it's right there. And truth cannot be hid. It will come out. Just remember this. No one can run away from the living God and win that race. And no one can fight God and be victorious. David was unbearably miserable, for day and night God's hand was heavy upon him. And you too know what that is, don't you? Truly, thou art the man. Now we shall turn the page and see that guilty man as he repents. Nathan faced David with his sin and God's judgment in words which really stung and smarted. They were unsparing and unmerciful. What did David do? Did he say, "Look here, Nathan, you may be a prophet, but I am the king, and your life is in my hands. Thou shalt die for this." King Herod killed John the Baptist, but David did not kill Nathan. Did David deny the charge? You say it was no use, for God had the books on him. You're right. And so, is there any use in you denying the charges God brings against you? But you still try to deny them, do you? And when God declares your sin and guilt and downright wickedness, you say you're not that bad and try to dodge the issue. But David pled guilty and cried, I have sinned. Later he cried, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. As he poured out his confession unto the Lord. Have you ever confessed your sin before the Lord? And then what did David do? Did he say, Nathan, it is not right for God to punish me that way? No. He bowed his head before the righteous judgment of God as being bitterly guilty. Have you ever done that? Did you, neighbor, ever get down on your knees before God and say, O God, I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. Not another crumb of food, nor another drop of water, nor another breath of air. If thou art to smite me dead and cast me into hellfire, I deserve it for my wicked sins. The publican in the Bible beat his breast as deserving the judgment of God. My fellow man, I advise you, I beseech you to confess your sin and guilt before God and do it now. But David did more than that. He sought mercy of the Lord. Yes, he did. As a guilty man, he turned to the Lord for mercy. Have you ever done this? You say, how can God show mercy to a man like that? We will see in just a moment. But first, keep well in mind, you must, like just like David, confess yourself to be the guilty sinner. You have made your sinful history, and you cannot erase it. You cannot remove the ugly scars of those sins. But I want to tell you something, neighbor. You can be forgiven of all your wicked sins. And I'll tell you more. You can be cleansed before God of all those scarred stains. And I'll tell you still more. You can be changed to live a new life for the glory of God and for the blessing of men. How? Only one way, by the Lord Jesus Christ and through his precious blood. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He will save you. His blood will cleanse you from all your sins, and his Holy Spirit will change your life by the very power of God in your life and in your heart and in your head to make a new person out of you. You'll love what God loves and hate what he hates. And you'll see everything and everyone as God sees him. Just remember these three things. First, you need Christ to save you. Second, you need his blood to cleanse you. Third, you need his Holy Spirit to change you. To all your deep need, Christ is the only answer. And three things you must do. First, repent of your sins before God. Second, trust in Christ as your only Savior. Third, surrender to him to be your Lord and by his Holy Spirit to change your whole life for time and eternity. All this you can do right now and right where you are. In the Bible, I see an amazing thing. I see a Matthew, the publican, the tax gatherer, as one of the apostles of Christ. And I see the most honored apostle and servant of Jesus Christ, Paul, the murderer. And in our day, I see this same amazing sight. I see men living for God and preaching the gospel and doing Christian work who were once thieves, murderers, adulterers, and criminals behind the bars. And soon in heaven, I shall see a blood-washed throng of holy saints surrounding the very throne of God. And there will be those who were once harlots, drunkards, the beastly, wicked, and sinners of the lowest degree. And in that heavenly legion will be King David, the once thou art the man of wicked sin. Listen, as they all join in the heavenly song, and I will too, as we sing to the Lord Jesus Christ the song of heaven, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Truly, this is amazing grace. Neighbor, thou art the man in sin. I showed you that. Will you now be, thou art the man in the kingdom of God, as another trophy of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to a wicked sinner? Will you? I hope you will. Amen. Neighbor, your life of sins against God is a solemn fact to face. The thought of dying in those sins should make you tremble in fear, and the certainty of an eternity in hellfire should make you cry to God for his mercy. Now God's word declares, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I hope you have learned the folly of trying to hide your sins from God and man. So now the thing to do is to confess them and forsake them, for only by so doing will you know the mercy of God. So right now get alone with God and tell him all the truth. Come clean with it all and plead guilty. Then beseech him his mercy and his enabling you to forsake all your evil ways. God will fulfill his word, for he has said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This is the time for you to repent of those sins and to call on the Lord Jesus to save you and change you. He's listening for your call. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call, Lord Jesus, my case is desperate, for I am lost in my sins. But thou hast died for my sins, thou art risen and in heaven, and I believe thou art able to save me. So now I will trust thee and obey thee as my Lord and Savior, now and forever. That call he will hear, and he will respond by his saving you. Amen.